What would be a few things that you'd recommend for people to start doing today to improve their fertility if this is something that they're wanting to do?
Yeah, I would go ahead today and start eating as many whole foods as you can, right? So if you live in a place that has farming, go talk to the farmer, go buy from the farmer's market. I know not everybody has, you know, somewhere that they live that they can do that, but there are plenty of places like Misfits Market now that will deliver right to your door that's still organic, whole foods, you know, kind of makes it more affordable for everybody. So I would definitely do that. Start removing those processed foods as much as you can, the vegetable oils, the glyphosate covered things, the gluten, the dairy. I know everybody hates to hear that, but they can just be so inflammatory for a lot of people, not everyone. So I would start doing that. And then sleep comes to mind, actually, making sure we get enough sleep and just letting our body rest and recover at night would be another step.
Hi, and welcome to the Endo Babe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech turned endometriosis coach, positivity and self-love advocate, a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am a proud dog mom. And I'm on a mission to help you live more positively with endometriosis and be happy in your body. On the Endo Babe podcast, we're going to dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, self-love, health, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass endo babes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered on your own health journey with more confidence and the belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babes? See you in the podcast.
This episode is brought to you by MJoy. MJoy is an audio well-being app specialized in female pleasure and sexual wellness with science-backed content. Their purpose is to normalize female sexual well-being as a key part of wider well-being and self-care. MJoy is helping over 300,000 women achieve sexual well-being goals such as increasing their libido, climaxing consistently, learning new techniques, and having more fulfilling relationships. The app has over 500 audios of science-backed content created by sex and relationship experts. With over 200 sexy stories, they also have fantasies for any desire. Whether you're new to exploring yourself, wanting to spice things up, or just wanting to improve your mental health and self-care routine, MJoy has something for you. There's even a collection about endometriosis by yours truly in the app. And for EndoBabe podcast listeners, we have teamed up to give you a free 14-day trial of the app. Click the link in the show notes to get your free trial now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the EndoBabe podcast. Today I chatted with English, who's a functional nutritional therapy practitioner who specializes in helping couples conceive a baby of their dreams in the least invasive way possible. She uses a combination of in-depth lab work and targeted nutrition to help couples get down to the root cause of their hormonal imbalances and restore their innate ability to conceive a healthy baby. It was a really fun episode. She is a light in this world, and there's a lot of wonderful tips in there about ways to help support your body and feeling safe enough to conceive. Let's get into the episode. Welcome, English. I'm so excited to have you here.
Thank you, Chelsea. I'm very excited to be here as well.
So I usually start by having you give everybody a little background on who you are and how you got started into what you're doing now.
Yes. So I am based out of Kentucky, a nutritional therapy practitioner, which is, you know, kind of just a fancy word for functional nutritionist, if you will. And I specialize in helping couples who are struggling to get pregnant find their way to baby in the least invasive way possible for them. Got started, I'd say, about 2.5 years ago. So still kind of a baby, baby business. Basically just getting started, you know, but enjoying myself nonetheless.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I'm really excited to share what you do with everybody listening, because I think it's so needed, especially for our community, right? Especially because so many of us are told that we're infertile when that isn't always necessarily the case. So yeah, excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited. The topics.
Yeah. So what, I guess give me like an example of a few things that people can start doing today to like improve their fertility. Because people with endometriosis, they're told most of the time that they're infertile, like right off the bat, like, oh, you're probably going to have a really hard time having babies or not be able to have babies at all. And that kind of goes down a rabbit hole of, number one, thinking that you're infertile and believing that. And number two, like treating your body like that. Yes. So I'm not even like attempting to try for some people, but then some people do try for a very long time and it is hard for some people.
Yeah.
Where if somebody came to you with endometriosis, like how would you handle that?
Yeah. Where to start? So I think one, we can peel it all the way back to, even just so the infertile word, first of all, right? Being told, oh, you're infertile. Okay, well, how did the person that told you that you were infertile decide that you specifically and your body could not get pregnant? Because sure, we can take endometriosis and say, yeah, you're going to have a harder go at it. You know, there's things that we're going to have to do, you know, a little bit more and make sure we're very mindful of things, maybe more so than somebody else that's not dealing with the same issues. But one, maybe coming to terms or letting go of the thought that you can't do it. So that's first and foremost, because I think for most of us, when we hear, oh, our body can't do it, well, then you're going to act out your daily life doing things that are going to play into that. You might be self-sabotaging without realizing that you're self-sabotaging. So first we kind of have to have that conversation, right? And then when we get past that, it's like, ooh, okay, let's see what our body can do. Let's give it a chance. Definitely just taking a look at what we're coming in contact with every day. So the food that we're eating, the chemicals that we might be putting on our body, breathing in, taking in, because we're coming in contact with all of those things so often, that's going to make such a big impact, right? So, and we eat multiple times a day. So let's start there before we dig into the other things and just start treating our body as if it can do these things and kind of go from there with it.
Beautiful. Do you incorporate any like mindset work in what
you're doing? I do. And to be completely honest, mindset stuff is something I have on my dream list of things that I would like to get, you know, better at. Kind of walking clients through releasing trauma and stored emotions and kind of doing all of that. Can't pretend that I'm an expert in it yet, you know, so I'll refer out to people who are better currently than I am. But the mindset piece is so critical, as I'm sure you're aware. Because if we sit around and say, oh yeah, I can't do this, I'm never going to complete this task, it's never going to happen for me, well, then it might not, because we're not going to act on the things that we need to act on.
Exactly.
So yes, the right mindset, so important.
Totally. Well, and kind of like you hit the nail on the head, we were kind of talking about it a little bit earlier, like the word infertile. So when I was first diagnosed with endometriosis in 2012, the doctor went in for an exploratory lab and I had stage 4 endometriosis. I had like my bowels adhered to my abdominal wall. And he said I had endometriosis on my fallopian tubes, giving me hydrocele pinks and all of these things. And he was like, if you want to have kids, you got to have them now. Otherwise you're going to be infertile. And I was 20, 21 at the time. And I was like, I don't want to have a kid right now. There's no way. Like, I'm still a child. And so I decided then and there, like, okay, I'm just infertile. I'm just not going to have kids. And so I pretended for almost a decade of my life that I never wanted children, even though I love kids. And I had excision surgery in 2019, and he like did a hysterosonogram and also a hysterosalpingogram where they put the dye through your tubes. And so like everything was open and like clear to go. He got all the endometriosis out and he was like, you should be totally fine. I don't know why your doctor told you that you were infertile. Like now you're
undo
so
all of those emotions.
Yeah, there's so many emotions, and like I mean everybody listening, if you've been here for the whole time, you know, like I used to treat my body like shit because I didn't think that I deserved any better. You know, I'm like, it's already broken, like fuck it, why not? And it all probably stems from like that, maybe not that one instance, but I don't think that that helps.
No so damaging for so many different reasons. And then to have to go back after all those years and be like, man, that maybe wasn't the case. And to release all that is probably a great undertaking. So kudos to you for doing all the things that you have. I mean, you know, because it does take a lot. And I would like to say that's probably doesn't happen that often, right? Oh, you're such a rare case, but that's just not true. It happens so often. I mean, so many thoughts are coming to mind as far as clients that were told at 14. Oh, you're in menopause. You'll never get pregnant. Like, what? You're telling a 14-year-old she's got the hormones of a lady in menopause. And then you put her on hormone replacement therapy so that she never actually gets to allow her body to try to do anything. It's scary.
It is scary. Our health system terrifies me. especially here in America. That's why, I mean, I am here doing what I'm doing. So maybe one other person doesn't have to experience what I did. Thank you for coming on and opening up this conversation about infertility and ways to support your body to become more fertile, even if you're struggling with it. Right.
And I don't even want to say benefit, but that's the one thing that's coming to mind as far as the label of infertility. You know, I get that it probably helps with insurance purposes, right? It probably helps for charging insurance and getting things covered. But beyond that one quote unquote benefit, it's just so damaging and it's just so wrong because most of the couples that are labeled as infertile, they can get pregnant. If we give them the right tools and the right plan, and support them in the way they need to be supported, they can totally do it without all of those invasive procedures most of the time. It's just unfortunate.
After like people start shifting their diet and things like that, have you seen couples get pregnant?
So quick, you know, and I sometimes feel like, ooh, don't say that out loud. Don't tell people that, you know, it can only take a month and a half. So, you know, I generally do preface it like, hey, it could happen sooner, but we probably don't want it to because, you know, if we're undoing these years of maybe not treating our body so well and the toxin exposure and the inflammatory foods, let's give it a couple months, you know, 70 days for sperm to, you know, regenerate and grow and 90 days for the eggs that are going to become what ovulates. So let's at least give it that time. But so many couples are like, oh yeah, right. I've been trying for 6 years. It's not going to happen. No way. And then it does. So it's a little bit of a, ooh, that is so fantastic. It only took, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, 3 months. So, you know, a little caution there, but also kind of exciting how quick the body adapts.
Very exciting, like when you give their body the tools that it needs to heal, how fast it actually heals. And it knows what to do with those tools. Our bodies are so smart. Yes.
They are so smart. I mean, it's still incredible every single time. You know, you watch it happen and you see all these transformations, what the body is capable of doing. And we pretty much get out of its way and just give it what it needs. It's incredible.
Yeah. Incredible. That's a miracle.
Yes.
We're all walking miracles. You're a miracle that you're alive right now.
Yes. If we had to look at every single thing that had to go perfectly correct for us to be here. Oh man, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around, but.
Right. So what do you find are like the most common causes of lack of fertility?
Fertility challenges. Yeah. So I just said fertility challenges. Yeah. So I think one super basic anyways, is just going to be, you know, feeding ourselves those chemical laden Franken foods that aren't foods. The body doesn't recognize them as foods. So all the things that are sprayed with the pesticides and processed in a lab and created just so you'll think that your body wants them and needs them. I think that in and of itself, you know, our bodies are just not getting the nutrients they need to sustain ourselves. So to sustain a new life, it's just going to be really difficult. So, you know, I think that's a big piece of it. You know, I think environmental toxins, you know, just the more and more of them that are getting dumped into the environment and the water supply that we don't know about, you know, we think we are avoiding them and then we'll do a little testing. It's like, oh, where did we come up? You know, where did that get into my body? It's a little shocking, but once we find out what it is, you know, we can just avoid it after that. Bacteria, viruses, pathogens, things that everybody thinks is kind of normal, like, oh, I have diarrhea or constipation or bloating, that could be a sign that something is not going right. So fixing digestion, which people probably think digestion and fertility, what are you talking about? Those don't relate with each other, but they do.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, especially I'm sure everybody right now is like nodding their heads because most like endometriosis and gut health kind of are linked as well. Yes. So it makes sense. Yes. And like gut health and fertility would be linked. I think gut health is like,
begin. Yes.
This is part of everything. Good life is having good gut health.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and it's, if we ignore the gut health for anything, for endometriosis or fertility, whatever it is, just life, healthy life in general. Yeah. It's going to be hard to get where you want to go if we ignore the gut. So yeah, lots of things.
I know, so many things. It kind of feels overwhelming to tackle them.
You know, it can, but what I like to remind people is, okay, like if we find all of these things, we can come up with one plan that addresses most of them all at the same time without having to do too many things, honestly. You know, if we find the one or two main things that kind of cascaded into everything else, if we address those, then it's just going to benefit all the other things that were thrown off track with it. So it doesn't have to be. It feels, when you look at it and you think about all the things, you're like, oh my gosh, look at all these things. But in reality, it turned out to be quite more simple.
Right. And so what would be a few things that you'd recommend for people to start doing today to improve their fertility if this is something that they're wanting to do?
Yeah. I would go ahead today and start eating as many whole foods as you can, right? So if you live in a place that has farming, go talk to the farmer, go buy from the farmer's market. I know not everybody has, you know, somewhere that they live that they can do that, but there are plenty of places like Misfits Market now that will deliver right to your door. That's still organic whole foods, you know, kind of makes it more affordable for everybody. So I definitely do that. Start removing those processed foods as much as you can, the vegetable oils, the glyphosate covered things, the gluten, the dairy. I know everybody hates to hear that, but they can just be so inflammatory for a lot of people, not everyone. So I would start doing that. And then sleep comes to mind, actually, making sure we get enough sleep and just letting our body rest and recover at night would be another step for sure. And those are things I would do. Yeah.
Seems like doing both of those things would also reduce stress.
Yes. Stress, the word that everybody, you know, hates. Like, oh, stop telling me to stop stressing out. How dare you? Like, oh.
Just relax.
If you tell a couple, oh, just relax, it'll help it happen. You know, they're just going to tune you out and not, you know, nothing else you say after that is going to be heard. But when we think about stress, it can come in so many different forms, and it doesn't have to be just, oh, I feel stressed out. There's so many things going on that are stressors that you don't necessarily put on that list. So
for sure. And I feel like sometimes even if you're constantly stressed, right, your body adapts because your body's smart and you can kind of like not realize that you're that stressed out and almost like dissociate from the stress.
Yes.
Even though it's having havoc on your body.
I'm having flashbacks. Yes. I mean, because before this and before going, you know, back to school, I was working 80-hour work weeks and it was nights and days and coming home at 6 a.m. after work and going back at 9 a.m. But you do it for so many years that, you know, it just becomes normal to you, right? So it's like, I feel fine. I feel great. I only need 2 hours of sleep. I can go to the gym still and do all these other things. And when you're in it, you don't realize it. And then I stepped away from it and realized that I was just a shell of a person at the time. My emotions and my physical health and my hormone health really took a toll, but you didn't feel it because you're in the midst of it.
Well, and it just becomes like your norm sometimes. And you're like, this is just how things are.
Yes.
And like, it doesn't have to be that way.
No. Because once we can finally say, oh, okay, maybe this isn't the best, or hey, maybe we just step back from it and see if we feel any different. Because once you step away from it, I think that's when you can kind of think, oh, maybe I didn't feel as good as I thought I did, or maybe I was more tired. It helps, I guess, to make those connections and then realize, ooh, I feel good now. I don't want to go back.
Oh, for sure. Like, oh, wow, this feels so good.
Yes.
I don't ever
I will not go back. No, there's no monetary amount that anybody could offer me to ever make me go back to that. I think as a society, we're just told that that's how it's supposed to be, right? Go, 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 and do all the things. And who cares if you're tired? Get more done. So we just think, oh, well, my neighbor's like that, then I should be like that too.
And I think like we're taught, we're like groomed in school to do that, yeah. Right? We're all like the overachievers are going to get the good grades. And you're going to be on all these sports teams and you're going to do all of the things and be the best at them.
I'm so glad you said that. Because that's what came to mind for me was like school.
Yeah.
And the fact that you went ahead and said school and grooming, it's like, oh man, okay. Then I'm not so, you know, I'm not so out there thinking that it's just from such an early age, just kind of plowed into you that this is what life is going to be like. And that it's not what life, it's not what it should be like. And so hence the fertility challenges, you know, our body thinks things are too stressful. It's not time to, you know, produce another life. It is time to deal with the war, quote unquote, that's happening around us that we don't even realize shouldn't be happening.
Right. For sure. I saw some scary statistic and I'm not even going to quote it because I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
But it was about like how millennials are, like so many of us are struggling with infertility, like in our 20s and 30s, and we're less fertile than now in our early 20s than our grandparents were in their 30s.
Yes. At least. Yeah. Yeah. And I think what's scary is that if we don't do anything now to turn that around, it's just going to compound into the next generation because everything we're doing with the whole epigenetic shift, right? So, you know, yeah, we pass on the genetics, but whether those genetics are turned off or on has a lot to do with the way we're leading our lives. And with each generation, you know, it's just compounding on it, which is very scary to think about the next generation that will be coming up and the challenges that they'll face if we don't get the word out, right? If we ourselves don't start making those changes.
Right. If we don't start addressing our gut health and our stress and our environment and chemicals and the food that we eat and everything, it's all on us.
Yes. Yes. And it starts with each of us, right? Which sounds kind of corny to say, but it does because we can't control anyone else and we can make a stand for things and that's all good and well, but we have to start with ourselves no matter what, which can bring some hope into the situation because you can control yourself. So
literally the only thing you can control in this, not like how your body reacts to things, but like your choices and how you respond.
How we react to it.
So you'd recommend all of those things, right? Like improving your gut health, eating whole foods, cutting out processed crap, prioritizing sleep.
Yes.
Reducing stress.
Yeah.
I'd say probably exercise, moving your bodies in there somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I think that's one of the things too, where, and I don't know if you have experienced this as well, but having so many women come to me like, oh, well, I've been trying to conceive for the last year, so I stopped working out. You know, I was told that it was too stressful for the body. So I've just been going on a walk, which this is not to say going on a walk is not something that can be enjoyable, but you know, these women were enjoying lifting weights and they were enjoying cycling and doing all these other things. And then they were told, oh no, that's harmful for your fertility. That's not good. You need to just lay around and do nothing. So now, you know, they're not getting the movement in, they're not getting the blood flow in, which is so important. They're not getting that stress relief, that mental health boost that comes with it. And it's like, okay, well, maybe we can now get back into it because the blanket statement of not, you shouldn't work out is just so silly. And so
it is
not right.
Most of the like blanket statements, yes, regulation, whatever's are so silly. We're all so unique.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and what, you know, one woman can do as far as, you know, how many workouts she can do and how hard they can be will be different from the next woman based on other health things, right? You know, what your thyroid health is, what your nutrient intake is, what the other stressors are that are coming upon your body. But to just say, oh yeah, like exercising is not good for fertility. What? That couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because when you stop exercising your muscle, and like if you're more mostly sedentary, like your muscles atrophy, which increases your overall pain, right? As somebody living with like a chronic pain condition, adding more pain on top of the pain you're already in is not beneficial.
No.
Just creating more stress in your body.
Yes. And then I imagine getting back into it after you've added more and more pain to it just feels even more monumental to get back into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Literally one day at a time, one step at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it might fluctuate depending on where you are in your cycle.
You know, and I think that's an important point though, is how it might fluctuate. And so many of us aren't taught how to tap into our own body and know what it's telling us. So even with workouts, you know, if we can pay attention to the signs, we can know if that's too much, if that's not enough, if we can handle it well, just tapping back into it.
Literally just listening to your body.
Yes.
It can help.
It takes practice.
Things. It takes a lot of practice. It's hard.
It is. It is. Especially when we spent so many years not being taught how to listen to our own bodies and, you know, kind of being blatantly told that the symptoms we're feeling are all in our head and those aren't true. And so then you start doubting yourself on whether you really even know your own body. So especially when those couples get into fertility, they really feel like they're out of touch with their body in those situations too. So coming back to that is quite the practice, but so beneficial.
You almost need like a daily reminder, like sticky notes everywhere. Like, listen to your body. What is it saying?
Yes. Take the time. Okay. Yes. Be still. Take the time. Close your eyes. What does it feel like? Yes.
I'm a big fan of like reminders everywhere. I'm the person that it's like out of sight, out of mind. it's not like constantly in my surroundings. Like I forget about it.
Perfect. Sticky note the hell out of everything then.
Okay. So tell me, what would be your first sticky note? Like what would you put on yours?
Oh, for myself personally?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm just going to say what's coming to mind. Yeah. You are enough.
Mine, the first thing that came to mind was be still and breathe. But it's interesting you say you are enough because I have like a self-love journal for endometriosis that I created. And one of the questions is like, if you could tell your body what one thing, like, what would it be? And I always wrote like, you are enough. That was my constants.
Okay. Well then us meeting is just
perfect.
I don't know if it's a generational thing, but I think the more and more people I talk to just have, they just grew up thinking they weren't enough. They needed to be better. You know, and especially with like social media these days, you know, you just start comparing yourself to everyone and everything that isn't even real, but you know, we know it's not real, but we think it's real. And then we're comparing ourselves to it and then constantly thinking that we aren't enough, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's sad. It's heartbreaking.
It is, because in reality, each of us is enough. You know, all we can do is worry about ourselves and be better for ourselves and, you know, be comfortable with where we're at and not worry, because we're never going to obtain any, you know, if we're always constantly comparing to other people and where we think they are and we think that they have and the happiness that they have, we're never going to reach that. And then you're just going to go through life. Well, this kind of took a sad turn. We'll just go through life, you know, trying to obtain something that, you know, doesn't necessarily exist and kind of waste away our own lives. So, Wolf, what have you told
me? Is it comparing yourself to the Joneses? You can't compare yourself, because I mean, you just hit the nail on it. Like, we're all enough. We're, like we said earlier, what's a miracle that we're all alive and breathing right now, that you were even created. Like, you're worthy, you're inherently worthy, and you are enough. So be still and breathe.
I need to remind myself of that too. It definitely a go, go, go mentality. So taking moments to be still and breathe.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say? I'm going to shift us a little bit. Going back to like the nutrition aspect of things, like, are there any foods, like obviously whole foods, that you'd recommend for somebody like trying to get pregnant, right? What if somebody already is like, I'm eating really clean and I don't really eat processed foods and I'm trying to work on my stress and I'm trying to sleep better. Like,
So what would I generally say? So I would definitely say go ham on the fats. The healthy fats, right? So let's stay away from the canola oils, you know, the damaged seed oils, at all costs as much as we can anyways. Stay away from those. But as far as olive oil and avocados and olives and the tallow, bacon and eggs for breakfast, I don't care. You know, go in on those because so many of us have grown up doing the low fat diet mm-hmm. and we cannot make healthy hormones without healthy fats. It is so good for the brain and the hormones and just your whole body. So if somebody's already like, okay, I switch to the whole foods, you know, better sleep, that kind of thing, add in some extra fats, drizzle it on, dollop it in.
Dollop it in.
Yes. Do it all. Go ham on the fats. I mean, and your body is decently, you know, good about make, but if we're not giving the right building blocks, it has a really hard time doing it. Just thinking about it, like the low fat cheese and all the things that they've taken all the fat out of and they've just added sugar instead.
So like most of the low fat things are like processed.
Yeah. And they're marketed as health foods.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's actually no regulation on any of that. You can put healthy, natural, whatever on any food product that you create and there's no regulations around it. So read your labels.
Yes. It's so sneaky too. You know, and I don't blame anybody when they come to me, I'm like, I don't know what to eat. You know, there's this and there's that. And it's not their fault because the messaging is so misleading. The marketing, you know, they spend so, you know, all these big companies spend so much money and time trying to figure out how to convince you to buy that product. You know, we all fall victim to it. It's not our fault. So yes, read your labels. Know that most of it's bullshit.
It's almost like they want us to say six.
You don't say.
So strange.
Why would they want that? You start following the higher fat stuff and then all of a sudden you'll have an authority figure tell you, oh no, you're going to give yourself heart disease for that. You need to cut that out. And then you start self-doubting yourself again and thinking, oh no, you know, I don't know better. That person knows better. And then we, man, we're taught not to question it.
It's okay to question. I always I preach that here. Always question everything you're told.
Even if it's my clients questioning something that I've recommended, that I do not get offended. I would much rather have a conversation about it. Say, you know, this is what I've been taught. This is what I know. But I'm always open to, you know, I could be wrong about things. You know, it's never changing world.
You want to know what? That's the sign of a good practitioner. In my experience, like working in healthcare, is like the doctors that are willing to have that conversation with you, the practitioners that are willing to allow you to question them and not let their ego be hurt.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many different ways to the same solution too, that let's talk about it. See what you're comfortable with. See what you know, what you want to do. And it's you that's following the plan, right? So you have to be comfortable with it and you get to decide what your body goes through. So
how much protein and like carbs and things like that should people be eating? You know, you see
changes. So that's it. You know, I don't end up doing macros too much with clients, to be honest.
It's probably
just because, well, I just feel like one, a lot of women are just under eating in the first place. Got to be kind of careful with that. Well, say, you know, if we can shoot for having healthy fats, healthy carbs, and good protein at each meal tends to be a goal. Never having the naked carbs, right? So we don't want anything that's just sugary and carby by itself. We want some fat and protein with it. Shooting for 1800, 2000 calories a day, at least for the women, more for men, is kind of where we start. I don't ever get too specific though. So that's an interesting question.
Well, I mean, I think that that's good because you do sound like you're more of like the intuitive type and letting people listen to their bodies because they know their body best. And that makes sense. It is funny how many women undereat, myself included. I tracked for like a week in like December, maybe just to see, like, I was like, I'm getting like hungry throughout the day. And I was way under eating, like by, and I say way under, but like a meal, yep, like 400, 300 calories under, you know? Yep. And so I just added some more snacks throughout the day. And now I'm full all day and I actually have more energy and I feel way better.
You know, what's crazy is so same situation, you know, and I'm not huge, huge on tracking, but I have clients do the same thing you did. You know, you track for a week because we don't know where we're at until we do track it. So, you know, we'll do it for some time just to get a good baseline. So, you know, somebody will come and say like, well, give me macros. I'm like, well, no, just track your food and your calories for a couple of days, then come to me and then we'll talk. So they'll generally come back and say, okay, well, I've only been eating 900 to 1200, which they think based on marketing, the 1200 calories is supposed to be right. I'm like, okay, we're going to slowly increase it and then we'll talk again. So they slowly increase it and they come back. I'm like, whoa, the weight kind of just came off. The bloat's gone. It's like, right. Isn't that crazy? The more you eat, the safer your body feels.
Yeah.
And it just releases what it doesn't need to hold on to.
I bet it reduces stress too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the same thing where we talked about, you know, the body feeling like it's at war, you know, if we're constantly on the go, if we're under eating, it thinks we're in the middle of a famine. So again, probably not the best time to create a new life. So yes, safe space is what the body does when we eat enough food.
Your body has to feel safe to create a new life. If it doesn't even feel safe, like you were saying, with just you, it's going to be really hard.
So interesting, all the things that we have to unlearn and relearn.
I know. Like you said, marketing is aimed right at us to make sure that we stay sick, not well, and buy all of their fake products. So it's really beautiful what you're doing, helping people get back to their bodies. And
thank you.
Yeah, and create babies. I love
it. It's crazy. It is honestly so wild. I love it. It's a wild ride for sure.
We talked about a lot of really good things today, but I think the central theme is really just making your body feel safe, right? Whether it's like getting rid of chemicals or processed foods or reducing your stress or sleeping more. I'd say even like letting go of emotions, not holding them in, probably is also key. Creating safety in your body so it feels safe to create a baby.
Yes, I think that's absolutely correct.
Is there anything that you want to leave our audience with?
I think I would just like them to know that they've got options, you know, that they can be in charge of their body and the decisions they make with it. And if something doesn't feel right, if something seems a little off, ask questions, keep researching and keep, you know, keep searching until you're satisfied. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show, English.
Oh, I've had so much fun.
I know. We had a good combo. Where can people find you?
Okay. So website, thenourishingtreelouisville.com. I've even got a little freebie on there, the baby ready body. So they can sign up for that. And then they can find me on Instagram, nourishingtreelou.
Perfect. And I'll link all of that in the show notes. So if you guys want to go follow and get her freebie, it's in the show notes.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I've enjoyed myself.
I know. I've enjoyed having you. Thanks for coming on, English.
Oh, babe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I had so much fun and I'm so fucking grateful for every single one of you. If you thought that this was helpful or you loved any part of this podcast, I would love, love, love for you to screenshot it and post it on Instagram at Chelsea Bree, ChelseaBri, and tag me. I would love to see what you're getting out of the episodes. It makes me so happy. I would also love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave a review because that just helps other wonderful endo babes find me as well. I adore you, and I believe that you don't deserve to feel like shit. You deserve to have a normal life despite endometriosis. So I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on next week's episode of the Endo Babe Podcast.